Welcome to the Airport Lounge. I'm your host, Airport. This podcast, like the content I read on Twitter, is aimed at providing deeper insights into all things Web3, including the stories of prominent figures, builders, and community members generally operating in this space. My guest today is Ben Colfax. Ben is an artist and founder of his own collection, Good Morning Cafe, which is made up of 333 one-of-one Highland cows. He's been an artist from a young age and made the transition to Web3 relatively early on, following which he spent his time slowly drawing each of the one-of-one Highlands and building his community in Discord. I take conflicts of interest and disclosures very seriously. I own one of Ben's one-of-one Highland cows. I've long been a fan of Ben's work, and as you'll hear in this episode, I'm a huge fan of cows and cute round objects generally. It's long been a desire of mine to own one of Ben's Highlands, which I now do. It's listed currently at a price between 3 to 4x the floor price of the collection. Ben also mentions in this episode that he's launching his second collection soon. I'm not officially affiliated with this project, though I have given Ben some advice and my opinions on this second project on a personal basis. Finally, nothing in this podcast should be construed as financial advice. Please do your own research fully before deciding to make any investments. And before we get into the podcast, I also want to take a moment to thank the sponsor of today's episode, Origins NFT. Origins is a data analytics platform and community of NFT traders that I've been a part of since my time entering the Web3 and NFT communities. Owning an Origins NFT pass gives access to the closed Discord, which houses various data and alert tools, threads for in-depth discussions on projects, and in-depth write-ups from community analysts, including myself, for long-term calls and projects we're bullish on. Anyone who's followed me on Twitter for some length of time will have seen me post the occasional Origins chart together with some analysis. I often credit a lot of what I know and understand about markets and data-driven analytics to the Origins community, and truly, navigating the space is made a lot easier with a community of like-minded individuals. I've been a vocal supporter of Origins NFT for the longest time prior to sponsorship of the podcast, and I encourage everyone who's still looking for a community to navigate this space with to pop into the server, have a chat with me or any of the mods in the comments channel, and have a look around. Thank you very much to Origins for sponsoring this podcast, and without further ado, let's get into the episode with Ben Colfax. It's all easy. I think we're recording. So, Ben Colfax, welcome to the Airport Lounge. How are you doing?
I am great. Great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. You're the first guest, actually, that's come on, aside from just, you know, a couple of friends of mine that kind of got me into the NFT space that we did a very casual sort of recording for. So this will be, you know, nice and easy. No pressure at all.
Oh, thanks, man. I feel it. I feel the pressure. It's always funny when you come onto these kind of, you know, think it on your feet and all that kind of stuff. But I'm absolutely sure it's... like we've spoken before, we vibe. Hopefully I don't say too much.
No, of course. I think, Ben, I've been a big fan of your work, I think, since I kind of got into the NFT space. And I feel like I've seen some of your stuff even beforehand. So it's been really nice to connect. And, you know, so obviously I've seen your Instagram and the stuff that you posted in your project and stuff. But I mean, why don't we start by, you know, talking a little bit about how you got into, I guess, being a creative in the first place and, like, you know, drawing in the first place.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long kind of story. I was only just pondering about it recently, just trying to get it out of my head. A lot of people have asked, where did you learn how to draw and all that kind of stuff. And man, it's funny to throw your mind back because you're not thinking about it as it's happening. You're kind of looking back, and actually, one of my first memories was like under a chair at my church that my family used to take me, and because I was, you know, a loud kid, they'd give me a cheap, you know, book to draw on underneath the chairs at church just to shut me up. But it's funny to think that something they were using to kind of entertain me ended up being the thing that would where we land now. It's kind of funny to see the full round trip. But yeah, I started drawing pretty young and just kept on drawing. It was just always fun, and I think maybe, oh man, it would have been in at least 15 years ago. I started working for Apple and I kind of a little bit gave up on the art side. It wasn't really something that I could see a career in, and it was kind of sad for me personally, because I then took another career fork and went on another kind of journey, and I realized I just wasn't enjoying myself, and then I kind of had to come back with the tail between my legs, and I started kind of drawing more seriously and producing work that was just freely given, like on Instagram and just really for fun, just to get the, you know, just to be creative again. And then I think from there we started to build up a little bit more, I guess, content, if you want to call it that. I hate calling art content, but you know, in reality it still is, and to other people they see it as content. So just started kind of producing content, and then one thing led to another, and here we are. Like, there's a long story even in that, but that's the basics of it. Just starting really small, and then just working at it for pretty much my whole lifetime.
Yeah, that's incredible. So when you were, you know, working in at Apple or, you know, the other job, were you still kind of drawing in the background, or was this more of like a, you know, you just kind of didn't do it for a while?
Yeah, I was always kind of drawing, but like not anywhere near serious. It wasn't something that I was going to use. It was kind of like, I draw, and I'm known as the person who draws in my family, and my friends are like, you're that dude that draws and is poor. Like, that's the reality of it, right? You're that poor guy who, you know, we know you're okay at it, but, you know, good luck, Ben, kind of thing. And I don't know. You just kind of get used to it being, not really ever realizing your potential in a sense. Like, mum was always such a big advocate. She's always like, oh, you're going to be so good. And I'm like, thanks, mum. Like, yeah. Maybe one day in the future, in the far off, distant, you know, dystopian future that we can, you know, we dream about. But I don't think I did draw a huge amount. It was just really just for like super fun, like just low key, just drawing and doodling or whatever. But then after I left Apple, that's, because I was in sales at Apple, and I learned a lot there, like about branding and how they treat every element of their brand as being like super important and intentional, and just doing everything with an overall view of what you want to do. And they had like obviously their brand guidelines, and I'd read them like 50 times because I was just like almost obsessed about just how do you refine something so much that it's just like you see an image and you just know it's Apple. And I think that actually sunk in, funny enough. Like, it's weird where you pull things from in your life, and that was one for me that it really did positively affect me. It took me from just thinking as, art is just art and whatever, and then I was like, hang on, there's something more to this. Maybe I could fashion my, like, kind of render and refine my art in a way that could be seen as a brand. And I think that's actually, I think, a point where I changed. I kind of pivoted from being just, you know, drawing for fun and just doing it and having, you know, a history of doing it and everyone knowing me as the drawing person, to actually, hang on, maybe this is something I could do. And then I went on a journey of trying to teach other people how to do it, which then further refines your own skills. You know, it's harder to teach than it is to just draw. You know, you've got to work at, hang on, how am I actually doing this? Like, what have I learned over 30 odd years at that point to get this type of artwork produced? And then you start, you know, reflecting on it. And I made a course on Udemy, and it went from pretty much nothing to, I think we're up to like 20,000 students now, which is kind of crazy. And yeah, that was another kind of, I don't even know how that kind of started. It was just maybe out of desperation of just wanting to do something so badly that you just start to try things, and like a lot of them fail, but that one kind of, it didn't fail, but it also wasn't a massive win because they take 50% of your profit. So you kind of end up with this good course that people like, but then, I don't know. It's hard to kind of process.
No, for sure.
As an artist.
For sure. And it's interesting because it sounds like, you know, your mom was quite supportive of you being an artist and was obviously a big fan of your work. But I guess you decided to go down the more corporate route, I'm assuming, you know, for financial reasons and I guess security.
Yeah, dude, to be honest, I was poor. Like, seriously, it was like every job that I took, I just felt so empty. And then I wouldn't stay at it very long. It wasn't that I was bad at the job, I guess. Like, you know, it's a job and you do it. But I don't know, it just didn't feel right. And then I kept on kind of moving from different industry to industry, just kind of trying to find something that would fulfill me as much as like drawing did and just creating in general. And then, mum was always really good. She goes, you got to do something with your art. And I was like, okay, well, what? Like, what do you do? Apart from go down the corporate route, which is, I don't know, a bit soul crushing. I did that for a little bit, and it wasn't for me anyway. Being told, it was almost like robotic. There was no real creativity. It was more like you must do this thing and just produce. And it kind of made it, just wasn't for me. So I didn't pursue that any further.
honestly, that resonates a lot because, you know, as you know, I've recently left my day job as well as a lawyer and, you know, kind of the same experience because it's not even that I, you know, massively hated the work or despised it or anything, but I think that, you know, corporate environments are obviously a little bit different. And I think it's just a different experience when you're doing something that you, you know, feel very strongly about that's your thing, you know, that's kind of very unique to you. And I think, it's just really interesting to hear because I think, you know, your art style is obviously very unique and distinct. And, you know, I have your Instagram pulled up right now and I mean, it's just, it's gorgeous. You know, like I love.
It's designed for kids, I feel. I don't know. I feel a bit embarrassed sometimes when it's so simplistic and so like loud.
There's beauty in the simplicity, I think. And it's interesting because, you know, this kind of style is, it's very unique to you, I feel like. And so I'm actually kind of curious how you landed on this style of very cute. I mean, how would you describe your style?
Good question. I've thought about this too much. So growing up, it was very much like Disney, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. I think like a lot of kids in the 80s, you know, it was either Bugs Bunny, Warner Brothers, or, you know, Disney. That was my exposure in Australia. We had the very, I think it was an honor personally to have a lot of exchange students come and stay with our family. And we'd had about 50 exchange students from China, Japan, Taiwan over a period of like 10 years or so. Basically, again, because my parents were so skint, they just needed to get cash in. And at that point, the school was offering quite a good amount of money to have people come stay. And we're like, obviously dad's like, yeah, we'll do this. Like, this sounds quite easy. We've already got five kids. Like, we're just chucking another kid inside this crazy, you know, Jumanji game that we call our family. Mm-hmm. And they just joined in. And we ended up having like some really, like really, really good people come and they become a part of the family. And they would bring all this like kawaii stuff and all their bags would be decorated in cute cartoons that were different to what I was used to in that kind of Disney style, more cartoony. I call it cartoony. I'm not sure if it's really technically correct, but more bubble eyes with pupils. And then I started to kind of look at that. I was like, hang on, there's a lot more out there than, you know, I even understand. And that was when the internet was just starting to kind of pick up, and that around 94, 95. And then jumping online, you get to see more and more that I wasn't really able to be exposed to as early as just say someone, I don't know, in Asia, I guess they get to see it every day. And it wasn't something that I was exposed to. Then it was kind of like a blending of the two together over, you know, the years after that, and just trying to find something that I enjoyed doing that wasn't painful for me. Cause I think there's a lot of artists that try to push their style in a direction that, you know, maybe they're not actually that happy with. And if you're not happy with it, then you're not going to be encouraged to do it over a long period of time. So I've been drawing this style probably for at least 10 years, at least.
Wow.
In that kind of bubbly, kind of simplistic, try to render it down. I think the cows are actually the more detailed that I've been for a long time, which is kind of weird, but, you know, I'm still evolving.
No, for sure. And that actually makes a lot of sense because even just looking at the style, you know, there definitely does feel like there's that kind of almost like Japanese kind of cutesy inspiration to them, you know, that kawaii kind of style.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. And I visited Tokyo back in 2005, and I got to see it firsthand, like just how amazing it is. And it still like impresses me today, just how that whole area of like that whole area of work, that kawaii style is just, it's pretty cool.
Amazing. So after you left your, you know, corporate life and stuff, I mean, I'm curious of two things here, right? Just to round off the story, but I guess like one, you know, at what point did it kind of snap for you and just sort of be like, you know, I don't want to be doing this. I want to sort of go and you know, pursue the art thing. And how did that look for you? You know, was it sort of just like I'm fed up, I'm going to go, or, you know, sort of, was there more planning behind it? Like, how did you approach that, I guess, whole process?
Oh, planning. I'm not the best with planning. I'm very much more like I see something and I'll just go do it and hope it works. But probably need to do more planning in my life. I have good people around me who can plan, so I rely on them for that. But as far as back then, I actually really liked my job. I still speak to the people that I hung out with then. And it was really just because I just didn't feel like I was going anywhere as such. Like there wasn't really an end goal that I was going to look back at the end of my life and go, yeah, cool, I climbed that corporate ladder and got to where. Like, I don't know. It just didn't sit well with me. And I felt like if I was going to do anything and look back on my life and be like, yeah, I did something, it would be to do with creating some sort of art or, you know, building a brand. I didn't even know what it looked like back then. That was a long time ago even. And up until last year, like I was mowing lawns to try to bridge the gap at home, like trying to pay for school fees, like literally getting a mower, chucking in the back of my car and driving it to an elderly person's home to mow their lawn just so we could, like, you know, pay for food that week. Because I was a stay-at-home dad as well. So, my poor wife, she must love me and hate me at the same time. She was so, like, supportive. She's like, I know you need to do this. Like, I know, you know, you're unhappy unless you're doing it. You just got to do it. And that was actually before NFTs came along. That was, like, doing the Udemy course. We were, like, ready to do this Udemy, like, reinvent the course and try to do something more with it, reach more people. And then, yeah, I just had a mate come over. Actually, my brother-in-law came over and said, dude, you should totally draw some NFTs. I'm like, draw? What are you even talking about, dude? This is like some other language. And I honestly didn't know. We did a bit of research that night, and I think it was when the Bored Apes were minting, because there was like a lot of hype around it. And even like from an outside looking in, I was like, well, what are these apes? Like, what's going on? And like, yeah, like, what, you're paying a couple hundred bucks or something for a picture of an ape? Like, a couple hundred bucks, come on now. It's insane. Like, just looking back, man, if I'd only, like, spent more time researching it then, it would have been a different story. But, yeah, I put it down for another couple months. And then, again, the same person said, dude, you've got to look at this thing. And I'm like, okay, another look. And then jumped online and had a chat to a random guy. I just, like, DM'd this influencer and I said, like, if there's any way that you can show me what an NFT is, because you're the only person in my feed on Twitter. Like, I didn't have any, like, I didn't really jump on a Twitter at all then. And, you know, can you show me something? And then he DM'd back. He had like 40,000 followers and he DM'd back. And I was like, what? This is great. And then I just asked every question I possibly could until he had no more answers to give. And that he pretty much, yeah, showed me everything. He sent me like a list of YouTube videos to watch on how to understand the blockchain, and like it was real basic stuff. I don't even know if I understand it still, but you know, it's I obviously understand a little bit, but yeah, it, compared to then, it's it was funny times. I was really just kind of feeling my way through, and then yeah.
That's amazing. No, I do appreciate that you're a very inquisitive person. I think, you know, even in just the sort of chat in your Discord and sort of, you know, as I was looking through some of your materials and stuff, I saw on your, you know, you have a little YouTube channel and there were some comments there. And you're
oh, mate, it's a bit old. I need to update it.
But I, you know,
so much I need to do.
I saw the Udemy course too. And it's just really nice. I think obviously exploring all these verticals and trying to find a way to, you know, make it all work. And you know, this sort of came about. So how did the idea for, you know, doing a one-of-one collection sort of come about? And I guess also one thing I've always been curious about is how did you settle on doing cows? Because if you look at your Instagram, you know, you have the small dinosaurs, which are really cute. I see, you know, a little duck here, and I see the, you know, the moos start coming in a little bit sort of, I guess, in the more recent posts.
A bit later. Yeah. So with the cows is, oh, hang on, I have a delivery man at the door, so calm down for a second.
Sure. You got it.
So as far as the cows go, like, oh, man, I always really loved farm animals in general. As an artist, you're always trying to look for new things to draw, but like there really isn't. There's nothing new under the sun when you think about it. Like everything's been done, and then they redo the same thing that's been done, and then, you know, you're remaking a remake of a remake. And I always, I don't know, when I was like doing a lot of Instagramming and like, you know, posting a lot, there's so much content to try to find something that was unique. It's almost impossible. But cows, for some reason, like as much as I already love them anyway, like being I grew up next to a farm, there was always cows outside our windows. Like it was always it wasn't like I just love cows only. Like it was just one of those, another animal that I appreciated, and it was, you know, fun, and they're always cute. And I actually think as like a being, they're actually like really nice. Like they're tender and they're, it was just a nice, and I thought, you know, I'll give this cow a draw because there's not many cows out there. I can't see any famous cows. Like, can you name a famous cow apart from like, Goofy, who apparently is a cow.
Goofy's a cow?
I think he's a cow.
No legit. Way. That's
I know,
insane.
Your mind, yeah. So, I thought it was like a cat or something, or some dog.
Yeah, but, I thought he was a dog.
Apparently it's a cow. Like, I could be wrong, but I'm quite certain it's a cow. And wow. That was only because I was researching. I was like, famous cows? Like, is there any famous cows? Is this something that, you know, I'm going to be not just redrawing a redraw? And yeah. And then, yeah, it kind of grew from there. It was two things at once, really, like liking them anyway and then going, hang on, this would be kind of cool to draw something that's unique. And, you know, you want to be unique as much as you can. That's my take on it. Like, it's easy just to replicate and copy. So, yeah, that's the beginning of that. But as far as yeah, everything evolves like really weirdly in my head. I might think of something now and not do anything about it for like 3 months. And I think that's like with the cafe, like even like choosing a cafe as a theme, like I started a piece. I really like cafes in general, like most of us do. We like sitting down in the ambience of a cafe and it's a real chill space and you feel at home, you feel a relaxed feeling. And I don't know what it is, like that lo-fi emotion. Yeah. I don't know. That gets me going. I can feel it, you know? And I thought, you know, I wonder if you could create that in a cartoon world. Like, I wonder if it's something that you could like visually make. And then I started drawing the coffee and then had the vision of what the cafe would actually look like, which ironically hasn't been fully done yet, even after all this time. But yeah, it just little things just grow into other things. And then suddenly you're drawing 333 cows, someone holding coffee cups. Like, it's a weird evolution. But yeah, put it down to one idea, I'm not sure if I could pinpoint it.
No, for sure. They are very iconic, though. And I remember distinctly when I first got into the NFT space, which for me was, you know, probably December of 2021. So, you know, fairly recent, right? Yeah. I remember, I joined up with Origins NFT, and we had a couple members in there who had moos, one of whom, you know, Cheeky had a moo, and someone else. Yeah. And I remember just seeing it, and I was so taken by how cute they were. And it's so iconic. And I was like, wow, that's really awesome. And at the time, I didn't really know how to go about, you know, looking for projects and sort of, you know, figuring out what was what. And I think it was just like the sensory overload of being in the space for the first time, you know, and just seeing everything. Yeah, very full on. But I remember when I came across your collection, I think maybe a couple weeks or a month later, and I think the floor at the time was like 3 ETH or something wild for, you know. And I think it's been higher. It's been higher than that, I think.
It topped out at like maybe 6, I think. Whew. I'm not sure. But it was like, yeah. I don't know. I don't even, like, when you think about that, it seems kind of crazy. But then, yeah. We haven't even finished yet. This is the thing. Like, we haven't even got to the end of it. And I guess maybe, I don't know, there's people waiting until we're finished. Like, there's so many things to think about as far as like when you talk about floors. But yeah, no, we don't talk about floors too much.
No, absolutely not. You know, for me, it was just, I think, seeing it. And I was like, wow, you know, these cows are great. And I really wanted to get one. But I was like, wow, I'm, you know, definitely feel a bit priced out. You know, these are, you know, but I happily, you know, eventually, you know, I managed to find a good entry. And I'm really happy now to have to have one and be part of the herd. Dude.
The only moo with a sawn off horn, I think.
No, I saw that, and it was I like round objects, and I sort of really like cows as well. So when I saw the sawn-off horn, I was like, I love this. You know, this is it's
perfect. So where did your love for cows come from?
That's, you know, that's a really,
because you did
question.
Mention it.
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, I think it's just okay. So I have like a couple of weird quirks, right? That, you know, I really like very like round and, you know, clean, sort of smooth objects. So that's like one thing. And so that's why I think I resonate so much with your art. You know, like when I look at the stuff that you draw, because there's a lot of nice rounded edges and sort of thicker lines and stuff. You know, I really do feel a bit at peace with, you know, with myself when I'm looking at it. And I think it's interesting because I think conceptually before I got into NFTs, I never really understood the idea of art appreciation in the way that I do now. Right. And I think that's really just because I didn't spend as much time looking at stuff. But now, you know, spending a lot of time looking at, you know, different artwork and sort of, you know, things done by different artists, I just have a new appreciation, I think, for, you know, what people are able to do in terms of evoking a certain type of emotion through something they've drawn, you know? Yeah. And in that respect, you know, I agree with your assessment. Like it is kind of content, but it's a different type, right? And it's its own kind of thing. And, you know, I feel the same way about a lot of different things too. You know, for me, obviously I write a lot on Twitter and stuff. And for me, the intention, or I guess the goal behind, you know, the way I structure my writing and stuff is sort of the same, but also very different, right? Like I want people to read it, enjoy reading it, and hopefully, you know, get some insight or feel some kind of way, you know, from a written piece. But I think every medium has its own way of conveying, you know, emotion or sort of telling a story in a sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, I just really fell in love with your work when I first saw it. And I guess to come back to the question of cows, you know, a lot of cartoon cows are drawn, you know, very round and kind of smooth. And, you know, I guess as a kid, I just always really liked how they looked. And I think, you know, I grew up in Canada where, you know, there are quite a few cows just sort of grazing in pasture. So yeah. I think just driving around, we saw a lot of cows and it was always just a nice childhood memory, I guess, you know?
Yeah, I agree, mate. I completely connected with it. Like just especially on long journeys when you'd hit a big open field and there's like a little hill and there's a whole bunch of cows on there and they always look so chilled.
Yeah.
Don't think about what they're actually going to do in the next week or what's happening to them every day. But like the actual, you know, the idyllic scene there, it's pretty amazing.
Like, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that aside from all the stuff that happens to them, it's terrible. We don't want to.
Yes. Well, we don't need to go there.
We don't need to down this.
No, but it's nice. And I think it's really nice how you settled on cows. And, you know, I see obviously on your Instagram again, like, you know, the more recent illustrations, they're just so good. And I don't know if you ever list these for sale at all, or if this was just sort of, you know.
No. So the only three, I've only really made three foundation pieces, which were kind of like stepping stones, like to the cafe, the macaroons ones, which I started talking about, basically just like an animated, the cow comes out of the macaroon itself, which then kind of gave the idea of the whole cafe theme, like leading on from there. But yeah, I need to go back into some one-on-one pieces purely because they're fun to draw.
Yeah.
Like when you're drawing, the cows, like it's, obviously it's a joy. I love it. I love doing it. But then you do feel like, you know, changing it up sometimes and drawing something that isn't necessarily a cow head every time. Yeah. And that's why I think the customs are really unique because it gives me an opportunity to do something that's maybe a little bit different, even within, you know, that box, that cow box. So yeah, it's been cool. I think that's been one of the more, the better ideas, the better challenges is having that customized edge and like sitting down with people and actually talking about the people, like talking with the people who are actually wanting the cow. Like that's really cool as well. Like sitting down with a, you know, someone like, I want my cow to wear this. And you're like, okay, let's do it. Let's make this thing. And then you're drawing it. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. Like that just happened. And you're like, yeah, what else do you need? And then like, you know, we have this back and forth until, you know, they get their perfect cow, which is kind of cool. It's interesting. It's, I would never imagine this would be a thing, but it's the best thing. Like I can't imagine it. My life being any better than it really is.
That's amazing. And I think that is, I guess, a testament to the whole story of, you know, what we talk about a lot with, you know, Web3 and NFTs, right, is the idea that, you know, we do want to sort of celebrate artists and give artists a way to, you know, I guess make a living off of their work. And at the same time, you know, creating something on a different scale. And you know, I think it's really quite nice. And what you're doing in particular is quite unique because obviously you've taken quite a bit of time. I mean, I think it's been months since you started doing the one-on-ones for GM Cafe, right?
I think six months now.
That's a long incredible. Time.
Like I actually don't, because I was so green, I think it was actually good that I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And like to, you know, in relative, I guess when you relate to how much you would know, for example, being someone who's maybe looking at stats more and because I've been just kind of looking at an iPad for so long, I haven't really had the time to go and do a huge amount of research. And when you're just heads down, bums up, you're just drawing all the time, really. And then obviously talking to people. But I think there's a lot that I can learn about, you know, the more technical side, which is kind of coming out now that I have a little bit more time to kind of sit and ponder and learn and see, you know, where the NFT space is going as a whole. And but yeah, as far as, yeah, just, yeah, just, man, it's been really hard to kind of stick to your lane. Like I know the power of like being very intentional about doing one thing at one time because I get scatterbrained. There's so many things to do. But for me personally, I think like just keeping on one track until I need to move up that track has been like super important. But yeah, I need to learn. There's so much I need to learn moving forward. Like, yeah, and your advice and listening to you talk, and I jump onto your spaces and I'm like, damn, that's some good stuff. Like, this is the kind of stuff I need to like blend in with this artist world, this my artist only brain, to kind of evolve it and grow it out.
Well, I think, you know, I really appreciate that, Ben, but I think even saying that, you know, I have a lot of respect for the way that you've gone about doing, you know, your collection as of right now, right? I think spending that amount of time, and obviously you're in the chat talking to people and sort of, you know, a very active member of your own community, which I think is interesting. And this is something that we've touched on before in, you know, conversations we've had in the past, but, you know, I think you feel quite strongly about, you know, being there and sort of engaging with people, since, you know, it's your project and it's your community, yeah. Right? And I think, you know, I'd love to hear about, like, I guess how that ethos has evolved from, you know, either the beginning and sort of when you first started and how it kind of looks now and sort of how that's changed maybe over the last 6 months.
Yeah, how it's changed. How, I don't know if it's changed a huge amount, but maybe, like, maybe the time factor's different. Mm-hmm. And there's more people at you in a sense. And I love having people at me. Like it's fun, you know, talking to people. Like it's a good thing. I guess maybe a bit lucky that maybe my personality lends well to like talking to people. Like I know, you know, some people don't necessarily like that load as an artist, like, you know, having, you know, you're kind of pulled all different directions.
Yeah.
So lucky in that way. Like, I'm not saying I'm like good at it or anything. It's just that just fortunate. Like I could have been a full on recluse, and it would have been a lot harder to kind of talk with people and stuff. But yeah, in the beginning, it was just really just getting on there. I just thought that's what you did. I didn't know any different. I thought you get on and you make relationships with people and like I don't know, why make a relationship with someone? Like, what is a relationship? It's a friendship, right? It's a like, why do it unless you're actually wanting to have a friendship? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just a silly thing in my head that, you know, that's why I put the extra effort in to try to talk to everyone that enters. Like, I know it's going to get harder and, you know, more challenging, but like, I've made so many friends, like it's really quite crazy. People that I genuinely can't wait to go and like meet and go, hey man, like, just, I don't know, it's just, it's a funny thing. But yeah, moving forward, like, I know I'm going through this kind of weird transition from being just like this one man band type of thing to maybe there's a couple people in the band, which it changes it up a little bit. And like, I'm looking forward to it. It's something that I guess needs to happen. I can't physically do all the things, so yeah, moving forward, it's going to be, I think it's exciting, you know. Maybe the cafe started with kind of me doing a lot, and maybe it continues with a lot of people doing a lot, you know.
Yeah,
I think that's, yeah, it's a cafe, you know, there's people in a cafe. It even suits the lore of the cafe, which is, you know, there's not just one barista, there's like 10 of them, and there's, you know, it all fits. And I think moving forward, it's going to be fun.
For sure. And so, you know, you've been handing out moves to people, I guess, like individually, right? So you've been doing direct sales for, I think, what is it, 0.1 ETH? Is that the range?
Yeah, we haven't even got there yet. It's like sitting at 0.099, and I think it'll stay there now. Like,
that's incredible. Yeah.
So I think we started at like maybe 0.07 or something. I'm not sure. I need to go and have a look. I was actually advised, like, this is a good price range. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't even know what was acceptable. And I guess I have, you know, the people around me at the time that were like very vocal and like, you should do this, you should do that. One of the guys was Plumpus in the beginning. He was really great, giving me a little tad bits. He was pretty much looking at what everyone else is doing poorly and going, hey, this would be a good thing to do. And I was like, man, that sounds good to me. Like, I don't know how bad it is over there. I don't know what grinding is, but it sounds terrible. So let's not do that. And, you know, it's just the ethos is just try to be as, like, man, it's so hard now. Everyone's using the same words now, like community, genuine, authenticity, all that kind of stuff. But like, to actually be genuine, like, I feel like it's the hardest thing to be in this space is to be genuine, because you don't know what genuine is anymore.
But I fully agree with that. And I think, you know, that's something that I resonate with that a lot, actually, because I think that's the one thing that I probably spend the most time, you know, thinking about or sort of very deliberately pondering on, right? Because I think even just writing stuff on Twitter and sort of engaging with people on Twitter and stuff, you know, I'm always trying to think about how to be authentic. And, you know, I get a lot of projects now sort of DMing me, asking me for promotions or sort of asking me to, you know, do like a whitelist giveaway on my account. But, you know, I just don't. It just doesn't feel right, you know? And I think it's one of those things where, you know, people want to follow me, and I'm just as blown away by the fact that people are interested in hearing what I have to say, you know, the same as, you know, I guess like the idea that all of a sudden, you know, it's blown up for you in this way. And
100%, dude.
Yeah. and so it's just,
it's real weird.
No,
it's a
for
weird
sure.
thing to get your head around that, you know, people, you know, when you have like humble beginnings type of thing, like, our family wasn't about ego or anything. So even for me to have any sort of standing or anything, like in any way, I'm like, no, you take it. I don't need it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
play it down type of thing. So yeah, it's weird when people reach out, but you're right. When you know straight away when it feels not great, like you got to trust that little thing that says, nah, that's not a good one. Or, you know, that's a good one. Or as far as decisions go, I don't know how you filter it properly. I don't know how, like, I don't know if like money changes it or, you know, status changes it. I really hope that, you know, finding that right balance, it's hard.
No, for sure. And it's interesting because this is kind of a follow-up question, but, you know, as you know, I recently bought a Moo on secondary, and, you know, the reason for that was, I think, twofold. One was because, you know, we had been obviously chatting quite a bit and sort of been quite friendly with each other. And I didn't really want you to think that, you know, we were, I just wanted to be your friend because I wanted a direct sale. And, you know,
are you buying my friendship?
You know,
no, you're good.
And it's an interesting one because I did sort of get the impression, I think over time, like I've been in the server for, you know, maybe a month or so. And I think I've seen people come in and sort of, you know, obviously the vibe, I think it's still very positive. And obviously everyone is still very, you know, engaging, and there's that core group of people that are showing up in the chat and sort of, you know, just happy to be there, right? You know, and myself included, I try to come by whenever I can. But obviously, as it gets bigger and there are sort of fewer and fewer direct sales to go, it definitely does feel like the heat's ramping up a little bit. I'm sure, you know, I see you get tagged by people or pinged by people sort of, you know, directly asking about, you know, sales and things like that.
Yeah.
So that can't be easy to manage, you know, like kind of, I guess, figuring out that line between when people are just trying to, you know, come and vibe and when people are really just looking for, you know, a direct sale.
I can see why, like, the big projects, you know, you do it all without any human input, you know, even the whitelist method is kind of, you know, you're handing them out, right? That's where the old public mint kind of felt like the easiest non-emotional way to do things. Obviously, gas wars, you know, nobody wants that. So it's hard, eh? When people are literally calling you out and they've been in the server for like 3 days. It's a little bit, it's a challenge. Like, there's so many things that go through my head. Like, you know, the floor is still, like, I would say, it's a lot of money to a lot of people
for sure
in a lot of countries. And there's some people who come from countries that would feed you for a year. So for me to even try to put my, you know, I don't know, it's try to put myself in that position. I don't know if I can, you know, like I feel like I have a great life and I was skinned in my country. Like imagine in a country where it's actually like really bad, you know? So those things kind of go through my head. And I'm like, you're trying to work out, you know, you've got this battle going on inside. Like, you know, is this person just grinding hard and they're just going to literally disappear?
Yeah.
Is that even a bad thing? Like you go into another layer of, is that actually bad? Like we all give grinders the, you know, bit of stick, but is grinding bad? Like we don't even know their situation. You know, we don't even know why they're doing it. Maybe they're just tactless. You know what I mean? Maybe they just don't understand, you know, how to be tactful about things. So man, it's a real struggle. I'll be honest with you. It's not easy. You're essentially giving people kind of free money in a sense, in a weird kind of backwards way. So I definitely feel the responsibility and I, you know, try to ask people in the server, people that, you know, I respect and, yeah, and they'll give me advice on who they feel, but yeah, it's not been the best part of this whole experience.
No, I think that's very understanding, actually, to even sort of, I guess, think about it that way, because that's the first time I think I've ever heard, I guess, an intellectual sort of like question of is grinding really bad? And that's an interesting point, because I see your point. I think obviously because it is a big financial thing, you know, there are people that could have their lives completely changed with, yeah. you know, that sort of, if they bought something and managed to sort of flip it on secondary kind of thing. And, you know, I've seen that too with some other projects. I mean, you know, I'm in a fortunate position where I don't really feel pressured to sell, you know, like my Azukis. And I obviously was able to go and buy a Mu on secondary. And so, you know, I obviously, you know, I'm very grateful for those opportunities. But I definitely do think about it from time to time too, where it's like, you know, this kind of thing could really change someone's life. And I think that to me is just like, it's a big responsibility actually. So I can't imagine.
Mate, like I've actually heard stories of what people did with their money once they sold their move, especially when there was like a large sweep that came through. And yeah, the people, like, they still come back and they're like, dude, thank you. I'm like, hey, why are you thanking me for? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird, like, yeah, it kind of doesn't make sense. But then, like, I put it into my story. I'm like, well, that's essentially what's happened to me. Like, they've, you know, got this cow, you know, or any NFT that's kind of gone up in value, and they've sold it and they've been able to provide for their families. And that's essentially the story that's happened to me. And, like, I'm eternally grateful, but then also mindful that, you know, I don't want to get too carried away, you know, in myself and making myself feel bigger than I really am. You know, this has been 6 months, you know, it's nothing really. So, just trying to keep your feet in the ground, really. That's the hardest thing. Trying to not, let things kind of get too built up in your head.
No, for sure. I mean, I really respect your approach on that. And I think that's one of the things that I stood out to me, I guess, about the server too, is just it's hard to, and you know, I've said this to you, you know, it's hard to dislike Ben Colfax, right? And I think that's really no, it's true. It's true. And I think it's a very nice, you have a very high level of authenticity and sort of genuine, you know, kindness, I think, that really shows through the way that you interact with people, the way you speak. And, it's really, you know, and I think it shows through in your community. And I think that's, you know, one of the really nice things. And, you know, I've made friends in the GM Cafe community and sort of have met people that, you know, I really vibe with and stuff. And I think it's a really nice way to sort of to go about it, for sure. And so, you know, I'd be curious, I guess, to hear, like, you know, plans going forward. Obviously, you've teased the idea of like a second collection, and this is something that, you know, you've been thinking about. So, yeah. So what's the end game here, I guess? Like,
Yeah, it's because of the cows, there is an end game. I keep on having to remind myself, like, there wasn't even a game up until 6 months ago. And, you know, maybe from my point of view, there was, like, I've been drawing for my whole life. Maybe I'm giving it not enough credit for myself, but now because of it allows something to happen. And that alone gets me, like, every day I wake up and I'm like on, I don't know if it's like pure adrenaline, but every day it's like wake up straight to the computer and just start creating and like start building this thing. So moving forward, it's like it's kind of scary, but then also really exciting. But phase two is 100% happening. Like I don't think we've really even announced it like officially, but it is officially happening. We've been, like, Jane and I have been building pretty solidly now for, crikey, it's been many, many weeks of testing and, you know, just trying to make something that's not just like everything else. So I feel like the moves are kind of a little bit like that now, where they're not a super common style yet, which is great. Like, I'm sure it's gonna change in the future. More people come in and go, hey, that looks good, copy, which is fine, you know, everyone's doing what they got to do. But making the next collection feel like it belongs with the cows is like a really, like, it's important for me. Because I think in the future, you know, as these metaverses kind of unravel and, you know, somebody starts to get a little bit more traction as far as, you know, that 3D world, which I think there's a lot of people who are really excited about it. I'm not sure if everyone's on board with the whole 3D thing, but I think purely from a fun gameplay type of thing, there's so much scope as far as, you know, cows getting into, you know, another world and becoming more than just like a 2D image. So I'm pretty excited about that. There's a whole, you know, that whole 3D landscape that is kind of for us a little bit, you know, uncharted, undiscovered. So that'll be fun. But as far as phase two, yeah, it's full scale development right now. And just looking at, you know, ways to do things a little bit quirky, a little bit more fun. Like we all know what a successful launch looks like now. You know, you can see the steps that they're all taking. But is there something that we can do that isn't necessarily a big, like, profitable decision? Is there a decision that we can make that is just fun? Mm. Like that is a part of the whole thing, you know? Are people really doing things now in the space? And I don't know. They probably are. There are. I just don't know them all. But are there, like, big decisions that are being made that are just purely for a narcissistic point of view or purely for fun? Or I don't know. I'm just looking at trying to maybe just not break a mold, but definitely do something a little bit different.
I totally understand that. And I think, you know, that is something that I love to see personally, you know, when there's like an interesting experience. Cause I think that as you kind of alluded to, that is a different expression of, you know, the artistic experience, right? Because you're curating this whole emotional sort of exciting thing for people to go through. And that's, definitely, it's really interesting that you bring this up, actually, because as you know, I'm really big on, you know, Azuki. It's the project that I'm sort of like very, you know, bullish on, very confident on.
As you should be. they're doing amazing things.
No, and I think with the recent airdrop too, you know, they came out and Zagabond, the founder, he sort of posted a tweet to basically say, like, you know, how did this whole airdrop experience, like, how did it make you feel? You know, like the idea of just getting this airdrop and then sort of having it revealed as dirt on April Fool's Day. And then so afterwards getting the beans, you know? Yeah. I mean, it was incredible. And you know, for me, like, it just sort of got me thinking like that's exactly what you're talking about. Right. I think the idea of having this creative expression, this curated experience, you know, like it's sort of value and utility for people that are involved in it. That's different from just, well, you can sell it and make a lot of money, or this will give you a passive token, you know, passively yield you a token that you can sell for money, you know. It's like that's fine.
Like, there's nothing wrong with that. We both know there's a place and there's a, you know, that works and it's great. But there's something more. There's something else as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I'm getting obviously more excited for your second collection, you know, hearing that that's, you know, the approach that you have. But I think definitely, that's something that space could use more. And I think we often do talk a lot about, again, the artistic stuff and sort of the creative side of NFTs as a whole. But I actually do feel like sometimes, you know, the art is underappreciated in a lot of cases, you know, and it ends up just being another game of traders and people trying to flip stuff. And exactly, you know, and I'm, you know, like, I think I get kind of put into the bucket of people that trade and sort of look at data analytics and all this kind of stuff. And I think that is true. I think there's like a,
it's unfair.
You know,
it's unfair, sir. There's more to me than just that.
I try, you know, I think there's a, I would say a bucket of projects or a bucket of things that I look at that I think are more for, you know, speculative and trading purposes. I think there are other things where, you know, I think when there is a genuine connection and when the artist is able to sort of express themselves in a different kind of way, where it does make a difference. And, you know, it's interesting because I think even a lot of artists who, I guess, were fairly established before NFTs, you know, if they don't do their whole NFT transition correctly, in my opinion, sometimes it can just feel like they're here to do the transactional thing. You know, they're just like, oh, this is another way for me to profit off of the stuff that I've already done, get more money. And that to me feels a bit hollow. And I, as much as I understand that people are collectors, like, I'm not a huge fan of that. Right. Versus, you know, people, I think, like you, who really integrate yourselves with the community and sort of, you know, become part of the whole, I guess, like Web3 movement in a sense, you know, that to me is more, it's different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think, like, man, I don't even like using the term Web3 anymore. I don't even know. I feel like it's almost becoming like, you know, the token word that we use to describe a certain type of person.
But sure,
like, there's so many different types of people inside of that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what else you'd call it. But yeah, I always got the impression that Web3 was just being innovative. Like, how do you be innovative? Like, that's how it started out, right? Like, from a technical standpoint, they wanted to do something that was completely different to what was already there. And then here we are. Like, even the blockchain itself is still, like, I'm trying to explain it to my parents. Like, dad's like, what are you talking about? Like, trying to understand it. And But like when you get it, it just kind of clicks. You're like, damn, it makes sense. Like it makes really good sense. And then, you know, from an artist point of view, to be able to kind of combine with that, it's pretty cool. And then you've got opportunities to do things. And really, like if you look at like the big companies, the Disneys, like, you know, the Pixars and all that kind of stuff, like people pay money to be entertained. People pay money to come and watch a film. People pay money to have that Elsa push bike, like heaven knows why, but they get a fear. Like my daughter's got one. It's out in there. It's rusting outside because they don't care for it. It's like this thing. It's like an emotion, and you know they're buying a feeling. They're buying a belonging, or you know whatever that is. And maybe that's something that you know we could, like as a whole community, like really try to understand a little bit more, like why are we here? Like what are we doing? Aside from the money, there's a lot of people I know and I see them, and they're not just doing it for cash. They're doing it because they actually want to belong. They actually want to feel part and connected to a wider community. And I think that's why, you know, meme culture is so strong here, because it really is a community. Everyone's laughing at the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes viral. And you know, you got the whole Kevin thing and all that kind of stuff. Like that kind of stuff just happens all the time because it's a community getting together, just having a lol, you know what I mean? Like just having fun. So I guess from that point of view, like, you know, trying something that just makes people kind of smile, like that's the goal. Like for me, something that, you know, if we're making these hoodies and, you know, trying to make something that's kind of a little bit different, you know, trying to make a hoodie with like horns coming out of the top, make it a little bit bright and, you know, a little bit more, you know, maybe people aren't going to wear it every day. That's fine. But when they do wear it, and maybe they're with other people who are wearing it, it's kind of like, you know, this is cool. Like, this is our little thing here. So I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't hurt for collections to kind of think about that just a little bit, I guess, like maybe.
Yeah. No,
pushing it out there a little bit.
For sure. So, you know, your vision is still to have the Moose be like the face of the brand that you want to build out.
Yeah, I think they will always, it's kind of hard when I see them as all one giant big collection in my head. Like all the characters I build, they're a part of the same world, really. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also like, I don't know if it's a bit OCD. I'm not sure. Probably. I haven't checked. But very particular. You're talking about smooth round objects.
Yes.
I'm very similar, bro. I'm feeling you. Like smooth round collections, if you will. Like making... Like there's some rules in my head that I can't break, and I don't know why, and I don't even know who made them up and who put them there in my head. Like I just can't, you know, for example, like if you look at the Moose, and I might've touched on this in a few of the live streams, they're actually not like physically possible as an object.
Right.
Like they're squished. So when you look at them, you go, oh yeah, that horn is on the outside and this horn's on the side and the little spike on the back is on the back.
Yeah.
If you look at it, it's actually not in the back. It's hanging out the side. Like it logically doesn't make sense, but we're tricking the brain into thinking that it's there. So
for sure.
I don't know. It's just about like, all the different characters will live in the same world. It's just trying to make them fit into their own collections and making sure they feel, you know, on their own as well, but then together. Yeah. It's a funny, trying to get our heads around it right now.
Yeah, no, amazing. I really, I'm excited for these cute little dinosaurs for sure. I mean, I these are some of my favorites. I'm going to tell you
right
now.
What are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at
you on Instagram?
On your Instagram. Yeah, the little pink dinosaur is,
he's my kind of OG kind of character. He's been around for as long as I've been doing anything on Instagram. He's called Kiku.
So cute. I see that you have a plushie of it too, which is amazing.
Yeah, I've actually. Oh, where is it? I think it's here somewhere. The girls like to take it, and my daughters. Yeah, he's a bit wrecked up at the moment.
That is insane. That is insanely cute. Listen, when you open your merch store, I'm buying one of these right away. I mean, holy. And that's interesting. So one other thing I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, working with your family, because obviously, you know, you have some young children, and you work with your daughter Jane. On this collection.
So, okay, dude, so this is so funny, bro. I love this so much. Jane's not actually my daughter.
She's not actually daughter. So, okay, I did worry. So I did
dude,
wonder
dude, this
about
is so
this.
Funny. I love it. I love it. So,
okay. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Yeah. Jane would message me before I knew who Jane was. A lovely, awesome person. And we just chat, and I didn't know who she was. I thought she was trying to, like, steal my ETH or something. Like, I was super paranoid. And I was like, this is a nice person. But, like, she was very persistent and, like, you know, chatting. And, like, you know, normal people, like, coming, like, hey, you know, and I go, you know, go. But she genuinely kept on messaging. I'm like, okay, so she seems nice. What's the catch? You know, you hear all the, you know, the Twitter threads are like, do not talk to this person. This is social engineering. I'm hearing this voice in the back of my head. I'm like, is this social engineering? I'm waiting for the link. I'm waiting for it. Like, I'm going through the process. Anyways, she ends up being like totally the opposite of that, like super amazing. And then she's just like, oh, I feel like it, like your daughter, because like I was always so boomer and I do boomer things, which is fine. And I think, yeah, that's where it grew from there. So she just put Jane daughter, and then everyone started thinking she was daughter. She's always correcting me and like defending me, like saying stupid boomer things. So that's where that started. But I do actually have my wife's in the server. She jumps in every now and then. She's mainly looking after the kids. We've got three kids. We've got a small house. It's pretty much chaos most of the time.
Yeah.
So like it, I don't know if people really understand it, but it's full on. Like it really is trying to do anything with people hanging off you. Like my son would literally stand right next to me and just scream at my face while I'm trying to have this conversation, and you try to climb up on me. It's pretty chaotic, but I know there's a few other people in the space who have kids and we've kind of chatted before, and it's a bit of a laugh. How crazy is it, like the late nights, you're tired and you're kind of getting a bit cranky at the end of the day, and you have to kind of turn that off and go be a parent. But yeah,
no, it's funny that you say all this, because honestly, like I knew that you had young kids, so I was kind of like, man, like how old is Jane? I was like, you know, she seems very you know,
she's put very together. Mature.
Yeah, very mature. And I was like, I could have sworn he had three young children, but that makes
we misled sense. People. I think it was a bit of a joke that kind of keeps on giving. I think she's still daughter on the chat as well.
She is.
When
she
people
is.
Come in, they don't know. They're like, are you really like? How does Jane have all these NFTs? How old is she? She like 20? It's pretty funny.
Oh, that's incredible. Like it. Well, you know, I do think, you know, again, you know, the vibes in the server are great. I encourage anyone who's listening to, you know, go and check out GM Cafe and pop in and say hi, because, you know, obviously you'll be there and sort of responding.
I'll be there.
Really nice. And
I'll try to welcome you, unless I'm asleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we're just about wrapping up now, getting to an hour, but you know, is there anything else you wanted to say or talk about before we, you know, sort of wrap up?
Oh mate, I could talk about this stuff all day. I enjoy it. It's the kind of thing that gets me, you know, gets me up in the morning and to explore. It's like, you know, exploring a new world every day, you know. It's pretty cool, and there's always something wild going on. But yeah, I just want to say thanks, really. Like, thanks, you know, to you to even, you know, take your time out to do this. But
oh gosh,
Yeah, it's nice. It's funny that Web3, like in general, is seen as a like a bad place where you can lose money and like, you know, there's always these exploits and hacks and all that stuff. But at the same time, I've met some of the most genuine people here. It's like this polar, like it's such a paradox, you know.
Yeah,
of people you actually do meet and you physically see them. Like I can see you right now, and it's nice. So thanks to everyone who's, you know, come and stop by the cafe and say hello.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I think at the end of the day, you know, we can sit here and sort of, I guess, complain about all the things that don't go well in the space, or, you know, we can try to do our best to be, I guess, the leaders of you know, change in what we want to see, right? And I think I see you doing that with your project and sort of, you know, having that authenticity and sort of spending the time, you know, building your community the right way. And, you know, for me, it's definitely just with my content creation and making adequate disclosures and trying to be real with people. And, you know, again, like rather than sort of, you know, leaving it the chance to, you know, rather than having you think that, you know, I wanted to be friends with you for a direct sale, it was kind of like, well, you know, I'll just, I have the means to. So
tell you what, man, I was stoked when you got it. I was like, yeah, I don't know why I get so pumped about it. I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. Like, I don't know. It's very much a little crew, a little family. And it's nice when nice people join the family, you know.
No, for sure, man, for sure. And, you know, I appreciate you taking the time too. And obviously, you know, later on when your second collection comes out, I'd love to have you back and we can talk, you know, 100%. About everything that's going on there. And, you know, obviously our conversations will continue offline as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, man. Let's talk some more.
100%. So, Ben, tell people where they can find you, you know, socials or sort of the project and everything.
Mainly on Twitter these days. I've kind of taken a little bit of a backward step on Instagram. So yeah, just my handle is at Ben Colfax, and GM Cafe NFT. They're the two places mainly, and I'm on Foundation as well. Everything's under Ben Colfax. I've tried really hard to try to keep it as easy as possible. But yeah, at the moment, yeah, through Twitter and on the Discord as well. Like, I'm pretty accessible if you want to come and chat. Yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Well, try to be accessible. It's hard though, but yeah.
No, I think especially with the international time zones, it's definitely a bit of work to get that going, but for sure.
Hey, mate, it's good to have someone who's close to the time zone.
I know. It's actually crazy that we're actually, because usually it's always American time zones, right? So you're either really late or really early kind of thing. So
you'd be like early morning right now. Everyone's like, if you go look at the server, all the Americans are like, I am, you know, degenning right I've just bought some weird thing, I don't even know what it is. You're like, dude, just go to sleep. Just go to bed.
100%. All right, well, thank you very much, Ben, and thanks everyone, man, for listening, and we'll catch you the next time, man.
See you later.